Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. And in case I forget, during this broadcast, we wish everyone a Happy New Year. All of our listeners around the world, and I heard the other day on television, the first people to celebrate the New Year is New Zealand. So big hello to our New Zealand listeners that I know will be catching tonight's show. We've got a dandy, everybody. We're going to do some rock and roll, as they call it, L.A. vintage rock. J.P. Hopfeld's going to be with us. We'll be talking to Pete Hopkins and Jimmy Steinfeld and discover some of this fantastic music they've put together in kind of a place that has quite the history of artist Laurel Canyon. So we're looking forward to tonight's broadcast, talking to them and catching up on the music that they have on this fantastic CD, and we'll make sure everyone knows how to purchase that CD. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, Melissa Hovey. Wayne Larson is our technical engineer. Jim Johnson is responsible for the music that we play tonight, and from the massive Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and always humble, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson. Did your daughter Elizabeth have a nice Christmas?
Well, she did. And for the listeners that may not be aware, my daughter is an olive baboon. And she enjoyed a brand new basketball, a miniature football that has now been deflated, and several small toys that... I'm pretty sure, you know, years ago, one Christmas we gave her an Elmo because she loves watching television, and Elmo is one of her favorite television characters, and she disemboweled it within a day, so that was rather disturbing. But she did enjoy her Christmas, so she's looking forward to New Year. Are you looking forward to the New Year, Dr. Day?
Well, of course I am. 2012, this is... what is it, December 21st, 2012? That's when the world ends, and we're just going to enjoy ourselves up till then. And
oh, sorry, I missed that.
Make the best of it.
That's right by the whole deal. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl and Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy to, sharpen that pencil, WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for December 29th. Well, tonight we're going to head off to Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Why is that? Well, hundreds of Portuguese men of war have washed up on the local beaches there.
Uh-oh.
Now, if you don't know what a Portuguese man of war is, it's kind of like a jellyfish with a balloon above the water, kind of a transparent electric blue balloon that helps them float. Now, the electric blue creatures have a sting that can hospitalize an adult or a child.
Mm.
Now, here's what else is going on at the beach at the same time. Tim Guest, organizer of the annual Polar Bear Plunge, scheduled for Sunday, is unsure what to do about the event. Now, the creatures, they come into the shore to mate, and their venom remains potent for 2 or 3 days after they die and drift ashore. So you just have to be really careful if you're on the beach there.
Well, if they're silly enough to go into the water on a really cold day, then they're silly enough to wait among the Portuguese man of war.
But it's the annual polar bear plunge. Yeah, not only is it cold, but you got Man of Wars to worry about.
Yeah, I just think it just adds to the whole event. Go on with it.
All right. Now, last week we reported some Arctic snowy owls were sighted in Kansas, which is a very strange place for them to be. Well, now Billings, Montana has their own. More snowy owls have appeared to have migrated from the Arctic to Montana and other states this winter in search of food. Now, if you've never seen a snowy owl, the owls are about 2 foot tall, completely brilliant white, and have a wingspan of about 5 feet.
We had them here one year. Well, my good friend, I should say, he has a massive lake, and they had snowy owls one winter, so... I think they need a GPS system. I think they get discombobulated.
Well, as we know, when their food source runs out, they have to move somewhere where there's more food available. So that's
what they're doing. Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah, me too. Okay, now you know the movie Snakes on a Plane?
Yep.
Well, it's happened again. This is Snakes on a Plane 2. X-ray reveals snakes and reptiles in luggage. Now, surprised airport workers in Argentina found hundreds of poisonous snakes and endangered reptiles inside the baggage of a Czech man who was about to board a flight to Spain.
Oh.
Now, the authorities opened the bags at Buenos Aires International Airport after police spotted reptiles in the X-ray scanner. I wonder what those look like, reptiles.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they found 247 exotic and endangered species in his luggage.
Wow.
They're boa constrictors, pit vipers, coral snakes, and they were in a cloth suitcase that was bound from Iberia to Madrid, and a cloth suitcase.
Well, you know, the importation of illegal reptiles is almost as big as the importation of drugs, illegal drugs. So, well, a lot of that goes on.
Yeah, that's why we have our wildlife officials out there.
The essence of
things.
Yeah.
Now, anybody that's ever been to New Jersey knows that it has a certain kind of smell. Well,
oh, really?
They've kind of figured out what the smell is.
Mm-mm.
Avalon, New Jersey. The shore town has captured and moved about 80 skunks in the past year.
Oh.
And the State Division of Fish and Wildlife wants to know where they're being taken. Now, you know, as you know, you need a permit to, is needed to move any wildlife to another town because the critters can cause problems in their new habitat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so.
You know my famous skunk story.
We'll share it with us.
Well, I'll make it very quick. When we were at a park years ago, they had a problem. A mother skunk and five babies were stuck in one of the rides, and when they started up the rides, one of the baby skunks was killed, of course, right away. You know, you got that odor. So they called me, and they said, well, hey, we have to remove these skunks before the park opens. So I ran over there thinking, well, I can bathe myself in tomato juice afterwards or throw all my clothes away or whatever. So believe it or not, I picked each one of those skunks up by the tail, put them in a kennel. We moved them to the other side of the park and released them, and they didn't spray me once.
You are a very lucky man.
That's what I thought.
And talented.
Yes, there you go.
All right, now all across America, the Audubon Society is counting birds. Well, in Concord, New Hampshire, the State Fish and Game Department is asking citizens to report sightings of wild turkeys from January 1st through March 31st. And they want everybody to fill out an electronic survey on the website.
Mm.
Now, last winter, people reported about 1,500 flocks with approximately 27,000 birds. Now, why is this big news? Well, the wild turkeys disappeared from the state in the mid-1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And were reintroduced in 1975 with 25 birds.
That happened in Indiana, too, and it was quite successful. We see them frequently here on the compound, so.
Well, apparently it has worked.
Yes.
From 25 birds to 27,000.
Well, I'd say that's successful.
Now, How long would you say it normally takes you to read a book?
Oh, my Lord. Depends on what the book is.
Okay. Well, if you're in Hartford, Connecticut, it's going to take you about 8 years to read a book. Trinity College has started a project to display every page of its rare edition of Birds of America, which, as you know, was illustrated by John James Audubon, and it's a field guide book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the book is in a case at the Watkinson Library, where its head curator will turn one page each week until the last one is displayed, and that will take more than 8 years.
Well, that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, it is, and you're going to have to go to the library every week if you want to finish this book.
Didn't you do a story about how they sold that book in an auction for like $1 million?
Yeah, last year, I believe, and it was around $3 million.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, well, with our last two stories tonight, we're talking the movies.
Uh-oh.
All right. Palm Harbor, Florida. Now, you'll have to help me out with this one. A Florida animal sanctuary says cheetah, the chimpanzee in the Tarzan movies of the early 1930s, has died of kidney failure at age 80.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, Debbie Cobb, a director of the Suncoast Primate Sanctuary in Palm Harbor, said that her grandparents acquired cheetah around 1960 from Tarzan star Johnny Weissmuller, right?
Yeah.
And the chimp appeared in Tarzan's films from like 1932 to 1934. Now, they're not real sure about all of this, if it really is cheetah that has just passed away, because the documentation, they said, was destroyed in a fire in 1995. Now, in addition, an 80-year-old chimpanzee would perhaps be the oldest one ever known, right?
Pretty close. There was one in Rochester, New York, that lived to be, I'm thinking, 67 or 68. So.
Right, yeah. Now, most experts say that chimpanzees can live anywhere between 40 and 60 years in captivity.
Yeah.
So we're still working on this one. We're not sure if we've got the real thing or not.
I don't think it really matters. You know, what the heck? I would like to believe that cheetah lived for 80 years. I love those movies, by the way.
I did, too.
But
yeah.
They're not a bit politically correct nowadays, I'll tell you.
No, but I always love to hear in these South American animals in Africa and,
yeah,
and vice versa, you know.
Yeah.
All right, now here's another mystery that's been solved about a movie. A final mystery surrounding the work of film legend Alfred Hitchcock.
Uh-oh.
What triggered the crazed bird flocks that help inspire his 1993 thriller, The Birds? Well, I guess that it appears it has been solved by scientists. Now listen to this. Dying and disoriented seabirds ram themselves into homes across California's Monterey Bay in the summer of 1961, sparking a long-standing mystery about the cause among marine biologists. Now here's the kicker. The avian incidents sparked the local visitor, Alfred Hitchcock's, interest. He was there at Monterey when the birds crashed into houses and buildings. Now, they call it the case of the poisoned plankton.
Mm.
What they did was they looked at the contents of the turtles and the seabirds that were gathered in the 1961 Monterey Bay mishap.
Mm.
Now, most likely, the 1961 seabirds ate anchovies and squid loaded with the brain-damaging acid, the poisoned plankton.
Oh, my.
Yes, which caused them, disrupted their minds, and it caused them to crash into buildings.
I know people that did that same thing.
Yeah, you're right. Now, isn't that interesting that Alfred Hitchcock was there when it happened, and that inspired the movie The Birds?
And what a great movie it was.
And yes, it is. All right, for our fun fact of the night, the oldest known animal was a tortoise.
Wow. Which
lived to be 152 years old.
Well, once again, a fantastic job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We want to tell everyone to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, RadioMom.fm, and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And why not listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7 each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. We call it God's Country. Go to their website at info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
On the show. This is Jimmy in Laurel Canyon.
Thank you. This is Pete Hopkins in Seattle.
What a CD. I want to keep calling them records. I can't help that. But that's pretty much what influenced you guys to do this.
That's
I like
correct.
To call them records myself.
Albums and all that sort of stuff. What a fantastic sound. Of course, this album has quite a history because you have on drums what's the pronunciation of his last name, Gary? Is it Malibur?
That's correct.
Malibur, yeah.
I can't believe it. Played with Steve Miller, Eddie Money, Bruce Springsteen, Van Morrison. Well, that's quite a resume in itself right there. And
we're thrilled to have him.
Oh, wow. And he's great. I love the drummers that don't abuse the cymbals. You know what I mean? My wife always had an opinion that a lot of drummers ought to throw half their cymbals away, so...
Imagine if the road construction people threw all their cymbals away.
Oh, he's got this.
And playing bass on the record, Chad Watson. He's played with, gosh, Charlie Rich, Janice Ian, Chris Spedding, Delaney Bramlett. So, wow, what a record. So what got you guys started on this?
Pete, you want to take it away?
Oh, sure. Well, what got us started? Jimmy and I were friends from the L.A. music scene. And we started hanging out and listening to old rock and roll records up at Jimmy's place in Little Canyon, which is, as everybody knows, quite replete with historic awesomeness as far as music goes. And I believe that was sort of the initial inspiration, but then mostly we just gelled as a cohesive team of musicians in such a good way that it was easy to start writing music. And as we've been listening to rock and roll music, that was the kind of stuff we wanted to do. And it all came together very organically, very naturally, and couldn't be happier the way it came out.
Well, and I neglected to mention to our audience, Jimmy Steinfeld is a legendary rock and roll photographer. His photograph, gosh, who in the music business? You just blew me away when you told me this, Jimmy.
You want me to do a little name dropping, do you?
Oh, absolutely. We love name dropping.
Happy to do it. Just off the top of my head, I'll name some that actually I think influenced the sound on the record some.
Mm-hmm.
Some legendary players I photographed would include Chuck Berry, the Rolling Stones, the Eagles, Joe Walsh, Bob Dylan, ZZ Top, Clapton, Fleetwood Mac, The Grateful Dead, AC/DC, and the list goes on and on.
Quite impressive. In fact, tonight's broadcast is an hour earlier because you're going to be photographing Woody Allen in concert tonight, I understand.
Yeah, his New Orleans jazz band, that's correct.
Oh, cool. His jazz band, that's awesome.
Very excited.
Very, I'll bet you. So you guys decided to put this record together. How long did it exactly, how much time was involved in doing this?
We were going to call it Six Songs in 6 Days.
There you go.
That was one possible title name because that's how quickly we wrote the music.
Mm-hmm.
We got together 6 times, and each time we wrote a tune. And
so,
then tack on a couple of days to record it, and that's about it.
Well, I can recall my rock and roll history remembering that the Led Zeppelin, they put their first album together in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's the way the real rock and rollers do it.
And so much of the rock and roll world has been recorded in one take. It would be unbelievable if we knew all the ins and outs, which we've had a chance to hear some of that here on this program with some of the legends we've had from rock and roll that have been kind enough to join us, like tonight as well. But it's just a fantastic record. So was it recorded live, or did you do it in tracks, or how did you put that together?
What we did is Pete and this is Jimmy. Pete and I cut I'll call it a demo. Pete might have another word for it, but we cut a demo that we had the intention of using as a template.
Mm-hmm.
For the actual recording sessions. We wanted to go in very prepared, partly because we didn't have a lot of studio time booked. We frankly couldn't afford to do a lot of booked studio time, so we had to be efficient. And we felt if we had a template, I'll call it, or demo that we went in with, and we followed that as carefully as possible, we'd be able to do all 6 songs pretty quickly. We made sure that Gary Malibur, the drummer, and Chad Watson, the bassist, had that demo in advance, of course, of the recording session so that they could hear the songs at least as a demo.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I think Pete will recall a great story regarding Gary Malibur and how he listened to the demo and the story about Chad. And I think, Pete, you could probably speak maybe a little more fully as to how that demo helped us in preparing for the recording session and then the ultimate record that came out.
Sure. Well, yeah, no, template's a good word. Demo's a good word. It's basically just the procedure that I like to use, and I've seen many other producers use, known as pre-production. And it just is an idea of having a map so that you know what you're going to do when you show up and you're on the clock and you've got to get a job done. It's like anything. It's the better your plan, the better your outcome. And you've got a plan for the fact that not everything's going to go as planned, but even still, you must have some idea of what you want to do when you get in there, because it just makes it all go easier and flow easier, and it's helpful for everyone. It's helpful for the engineers, the musicians, the writers, all of them, which, by the way, was us. So really, we're just helping each other, helping ourselves, making sure that
we're very proud of
ourselves.
Yeah.
This is Jimmy. I just want to interject something. Pete and I are very proud that we produced this album ourselves.
Yeah.
We didn't have another producer, either well-known or otherwise. We had us, and we've certainly both been playing music for many, many years on our own or in groups, in Pete's case and so forth. But and Pete, I believe he can speak to this. I believe he's produced his solo project. But this was the first production for me, so it was important to have a map, as Pete describes it. I knew that would help, and I'm very proud of the production that we did on it.
Well, it sounds amazing.
Nice.
Yes, it
Thank
absolutely
you.
Sounds amazing, especially
Thank
going down the road at 55 miles an hour with about three-quarters volume.
Isn't that great?
Chevrolet pickup
that.
Truck. Oh, my gosh, it's fantastic. We're talking.
Does your truck go to 11?
Does
no.
it count to 11?
No, it doesn't. But we're talking to Jimmy Steinfeld and Pete Hopkins. We want to listen to something else from their album, J.P. Hopfeld's L.A. Vintage Rock, right here on Larry Batson's Wild World.
Do it, man.
The word's out on the strip. It's all over town. You've been with my chick. I got to take you out. Loose lips, sink ships. It's all over town.
sound of J.P. Hopfeld here on Larry Bassett's Wild World. We're going to get back to Pete Hopkins and Jerry Steinfeld in just a little bit. Take a short break. Folks, you're listening to Larry Bassett's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Bassett's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Cassie, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
It's Bobcat, Abby. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, 1 second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Bassett's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Bassett.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Bassett. You are listening to Larry Bassett's Wild World on this worldwide network known as Blog Talk Radio. A big hello to all of our listeners around the world, New Zealand, Australia, Ireland, England, and we encourage you to tell your friends. And remember that all shows can be downloaded after the original live broadcast, basically forever. So please share our programs. We love lots of listeners, close to 21,000 downloads last year of our show, so we're quite proud of that. And we want to tell everyone that next week on the program from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, we're going to get a little spring fever, everybody, as we bring back to the program one of our favorite guests, Benny Williams with the Department of Fisheries. And we're going to be talking about the latest things involving the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services and our fisheries and waterways all across North America. We also want to thank our underwriters, such as Cobalt Blue Press Bookstore in historic Knightstown, Indiana. The shelves are absolutely stocked with new, rare, and gently used books, including many hard-to-find children's titles. Whether it's your favorite author or subject, owner Shannon Dawson, that's Shannon Dawson, will find any book for you. Contact her via Facebook or Twitter or visit the store 7 days a week. Free coffee, Wi-Fi, and they got a great area, well, they call it cozy reading area. It's just awesome. It's in the corner of Main and Jefferson, Knightstown, Indiana, with thousands of antique postcards for your collections as well. That always catches Dr. Day's ear. Also, the Icebox is an affordable way to go camping. Now, you California boys, listen to this. We have a good friend. His name is Igloo Ed, who lives outside of Rocky Mountain National Park in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. And he has designed a tool where you can actually build your own igloo. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? And you build your igloo, like, right now, and it stays all winter, and he goes camping in these igloos. And it's just phenomenal. You need to go to the website. It's grandshelters.com. And look into this. If you have someone that's hard to buy for, and they live in Colorado, Montana, Wyoming, Minnesota, Michigan, lots of snow, what a great way. In fact, I have to tell everyone that Igloo Ed sent me one of these tools, and I loaned it to my neighbor, and himself and his two daughters built this igloo. It was absolutely fantastic. So check that out, grandshelters.com. Also, the iKidsFishing.com is the first kids fishing show in the USA, starring kids, teaching kids how to fish, 40 million fishermen spending, this is unbelievable, $45 billion a year. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. More info at We Want You Cottages at Chautauqua Lake in western New York. Their website is www.weewanchu.com. It's one of America's finest fishing resorts. Also, Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with their wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call, 317-243-0700. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, baby. Well, it's Saturday night, looking real fine. We've been dancing and down the line. And the way that you move got a sexy groove. And I think I know what's on your mind. There's a room with a view, there's a bed there too. And a whole lot of room to rock. So come on, sweet thing. Now I heard you can swing, baby, show me you the wild, the wild.
And Jimmy at his home in Laurel Canyon. Wow, that record rocks. Or that song, I should say, rocks, guys.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you so much, Larry.
And before I forget, I want to thank you again most graciously for having us as your guests this evening. We're really digging it.
Well, I'm glad. We have a variety of guests. We have scientists and explorers and animal experts. But my love, one of my true loves is music. When I have this opportunity to have such wonderful musicians on the program, it's just outstanding. What can I say? I mean, it's just fantastic. And I love the record. I'm just not saying that because you guys are. And I love this little quote that's part of your press release. Laurel Canyon provides a place for creativity, with the privacy to knock back as many cocktails as we wish and play as loud as we want. This is not a mellow recording we've done. It is a rock record.
Yes, sir. See, that we are scientists and explorers, Larry. That's
yes, you are.
The way we explore.
Absolutely.
And rock is a science, and we are just some crazy people pushing the boundaries and seeing what mixes with what the best. It is science.
We look forward to playing some loud music for you and knocking back a few cocktails should you, Larry, and Dr. Day ever find yourselves in Laurel Canyon or when we get out to the Midwest. We look forward to doing that with you.
I think that's a great idea.
I think it's an outstanding idea. In fact, you have an open invitation to my animal compound if you get to the Midwest. Of course, that we're going to be the focus of everything, guys, here soon because of the Super Bowl is coming to Indianapolis, Indiana, just about an hour from where I'm at. And of course, Dr. Henry Day, his massive Wild World Studios is right in the main metropolis of Indianapolis, so he'll be involved with it, I'm sure, quite heavily.
That's great. So what you're saying is J.P. Hopfeld can play at the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm going to tell you guys right now, my vote would be for you guys over Madonna any day.
Well, I'm going to have to agree.
Thank you so much.
So is a tour in the offing? Is that something that might happen?
We're rehearsing currently, and we're talking about a tour. Pete, you want to speak to that a little more?
I don't have much more to say than that about it, actually.
Okay.
There will definitely be a tour. Yeah. There's a possibility that we're going to be at South by Southwest this year, coming around. Part of the reason I'm up in Seattle is I'm making a record with Critical Sun Records. It's a solo release.
Yeah.
And I've been invited to partake in South by Southwest, and they love J.P. Hopfeld, so we're going to get J.P. Hopfeld out there too. So that could very well be the start off of several dates.
And for your listeners who might not know about South by Southwest, South by Southwest is a very big music industry conference and at least a week-long event that takes place in Austin, Texas every year for many years and brings performers as well as people in the music business together to hear new music, old music, mostly independent artists.
Well,
it's
big,
exciting event.
You guys hit the nail on the head when you called it LA Vintage Rock, because this is the sound that has basically left the radio waves. I mean, nobody's really doing this sort of music. And for us older folks that love the 60s and 70s of rock and roll, this is, gosh, a great, I don't know, I hear so many influences. As we mentioned before the broadcast, I'm hearing T-Rex and the Police, and it just goes on and on.
Flattered to hear that, because we are influenced by the great sounds that we remember from the old days.
Absolutely.
Of course, we hear some of that on the radio still, but we wanted to mesh some newness with the vintage sound that Pete and I love, that we also got to listen to and enjoyed listening to on old vinyl, on my 1939 Rockola jukebox up here in my humble abode where we wrote the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'll speak for just a few seconds about songcraft. Pete and I got together and we basically decided, let's write a song. We've been friends for quite a while and had just jammed on cover tunes. And basically, I think P, if you want to recall, someone said to sing something or play something.
Yeah. There's a tune on the record called Come Home With Me Tonight. It was the first one we wrote. And you can kind of tell, too, because it's the one that sounds the most like it could have been like an Insta-jam song.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done a lot of Insta-jams, and they ain't all created equally. And I could tell right away that there was something cool between me and Jimmy. And so it was really easy, like I said, after that to just follow that thread. And he literally was playing this riff, and I like the riff, and he goes, Pete, sing something. And I did. It was awesome. It was really good.
Yeah, well, it is. It's fantastic. This is Larry Batson. We're talking to Jimmy Steinfeld and Pete Hopkins at Makeup J.P. Hopfeld. We'd like to play a little something else from their new CD, new album, here on Larry Batson's Wild World.
Records.
Yes, I was. I was that guy. What's interesting about that guy is that guy was afraid to open his mouth and sing.
Mm-hmm.
I only wanted to play the guitar. And I had one mission, basically. I wanted to be the fastest, rippinest guitar player in the world.
Hell.
And so, yeah, I spent years just ignoring everyone and just shedding and shredding. And, yeah. And then something happened one day, and I sang something and got over the fear of it and fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just basically never shut up. I talk too much, I sing too much. It's just a downward spiral. I'm out of control.
Well, it's a good thing. It's absolutely a good thing. It ought to be quite extraordinary to see live. I can't wait. So if you guys tour and come to the Midwest, Dr. Henry Day and myself and Melissa and Wayne will probably be in the front row to catch you.
Outstanding.
Well, I promise you that. This is Larry Batson. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World. We want to play at least one or two more tracks from this fantastic CD. It's called L.A. Vintage Rock, J.P. Hopfeld. It's right here on Larry Batson's Wild World.
I don't want to be blocking the new permanent. I'm going to be free to mean just what I meant. I don't want to be a cog in the grand old design. Kind of line. If you know what I mean, and you feel what I say, yeah, 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 say, I wanna be, yeah, yeah, my kind of me, yeah, yeah, I wanna be, yeah, yeah, my kind of free.
Talking about wanting to be the fastest guitar player. I think you pretty much wrapped it up on that track.
Some dreams never die, Larry. Well, dreams never die.
Well, we all have to have goals, and I think
that's right.
A wonderful goal. I want to also mention about Jimmy. He was named Photographer of the Year twice at the Los Angeles Music Award, and you've got a book coming out, Jimmy, A Rock and Roll Lens, is going to be released soon.
That's correct. My book will be coming out in 2012, which is a few days away. The exact release date I don't have yet, but you will be the first to know. I will communicate to you via phone or email and let you know about that. I'm very excited about it.
Well, we have to.
And I thought I'd mention one other thing just briefly.
Yeah.
J.P. Hopfield is thrilled that our CD is in your truck, and we will see to it that you have another copy for your home. And I'll send one so that Dr. Day has it also.
Oh. Woo-hoo!
But for your listeners, you need to go to jphopfelt.com. And we'd love to hear from any and all your listeners.
Oh, absolutely. That and folks, I'm telling
well
you.
Well done,
right,
Jimmy.
Pardon my use of the language, but it just kicks butt.
It's careful now. Careful, Larry.
This is the Internet. I can say that.
Careful, son.
And also, Pete's got a solo record coming out. Pete, when will we be looking for that?
That's going to be that'll be also in 2012 at some point. We're wrapping up some stuff on that right now, and I'll be back up in Seattle again in early spring getting ready for that. And that's going to be real cool. That's going to be a different gear. I'm what you call a schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
With some music.
Well, at least you admit
that. I like a lot of different stuff, and this is going to be a very, very, I'm really excited about it. It's more atmospheric and esoteric kind of a record, but it's going to have its rocking moments. Don't you worry about that. And actually, it's kind of funny. I was up here putting electric guitars on it and stuff, and fatten out the drums, and what was going to be a little record is pretty damn big now. So who knows?
Well,
actually, maybe it's going to rock just as much as anything else.
Well, I put the invitation out now that when that comes out, I'd love to play part of it and have you back on the show, as well as Jimmy, when the book comes out.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, we definitely.
It's the support of people like you, Larry, that makes it happen. So can't
well,
say thanks enough.
And let me just interject one last thing here. One of our biggest goals with this record that we've done, J.P. Hopfelt's L.A. Vintage Rock, was to get radio play. We wanted people to hear it,
mm-hmm.
and thanks to you, that's happening. And also a big goal was to get film and TV placement, and Pete and I are working on that. So we're very excited, and we're moving forward.
Oh, that's
yeah.
great. I want to play this last track because, as I mentioned earlier, it's one of my favorite cuts on the album. A little bit different mode than the other music that we've heard tonight. But I think we'll close out the show, Wayne. We'll play this and go on the ending. Great show, huh, Dr. Day?
Unbelievable. These guys rip it up.
Thank you.
Oh, and I wanted to do a Woody Allen quote for you before we go to your music. From his book, Without Feathers, he states, there's some disbelief to the authenticity of the Dead Sea Scrolls because the word Buick was mentioned several times.
That's great.
He is good with the words, isn't he?
Yeah. That was outstanding, Dr. Day. Did you just come up with that?
Oh, I just love Woody, and that's from his book, Without Feathers.
Oh, my Lord.
Awesome.
Yeah. We'd like to thank Jimmy Steinfeld, Pete Hopkins. We want to remind everyone that next week on the program, Benny Williams will be talking fishing. Here's the last cut from the CD tonight. Have a great week, everybody, and Happy New Year. And as many
Happy
of you
New
know,
Year.
Yes,
Happy
I'll
New
be
Year.
Watching Dick Clark. You want to know how Dick Clark says Happy New Year, Dr. Day?
Tell me.
Well, Happy New Year.
That
so
was perfect.
Sorry. I am so sorry. This is Larry Batson. And you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running along a beach in L.A. I spot a pretty girl. I got not much to say. My tongue is tied up. There's hope for me yet. She's not with a guy. She's far away now. South versus north. I gotta change plans and alter my course. She's got a tan and she's real fine. I'm turning around.
Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.